The Grace Project is an empowering photographic project by fine art photographer Charisse Isis that captures the courage, beauty, and grace of those who have had mastectomy surgery as a result of breast cancer. The very act of standing in front of a camera revealing their scars allows each of her subjects a transformative experience, giving them permission to step into self-acceptance and the opportunity to share the story of the scars that have been written on their body. The ultimate goal of the Grace Project is to photograph 800 portraits, the approximate number of new breast cancer diagnoses in the U.S. every single day. Thus far, Charisse has photographed well over 400. She's marching toward the goal. The Grace Project exhibition, Broken is Still Beautiful, will be on display at the Idea Garden in Kingston, New York, on weekends this month. The opening reception is tomorrow evening, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Charisse Isis to the roundtable this morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Joe. Thank you for having me here.
It's a great pleasure to have you here. I would certainly urge people to go to your Facebook page or the webpage to take a look at some of your work. It's absolutely beautiful, and it's so moving. How many years ago did you start this?
The first official Grace Project portrait was about 10 years ago.
So what led you down that path?
So I do a lot of boudoir and pinup photography, and there was an article that was written in the Poughkeepsie Journal about my boudoir photography, and shortly after that, a man called my studio to ask about prices for his wife, but he hadn't told his wife that he wanted her to do a shoot. And he said he'd call me back if she agreed. So he called me back, and he made the appointment. And the day of the shoot, this beautiful woman, she was 62 years old, short gray hair, came to the studio, and she had her arms laden with hat boxes and hangers. But everything in the shoot was sort of about being covered up. Like, she wasn't revealing her body at all, which was interesting to me because she was doing a boudoir shoot for her husband. And after a while of shooting with me, she started getting comfortable, and she confessed that she was a 12-year breast cancer survivor and that no one had ever seen her scars except for her husband or her doctors, and she felt mutilated, and that's why she was staying covered up. And so once she had revealed that to me, she started getting comfortable again, and she started uncovering her non-mastectomy breast but leaving the mastectomy side covered. And she was laying on the couch, odalisque, and she started feeling beautiful and empowered and sexy again. And all of a sudden, she just threw off her shirt, and she was like, I'm doing this for myself. And in that moment, I was witnessing a woman let go of 12 years of shame from her body. And it was really one of the most, till that point, it was probably the most powerful photographic moment I had ever had. It was very cathartic for both of us and very healing for her. And the resulting photographs were beautiful. And then about 2 weeks later, another friend of mine called and said to me, I need somebody to photograph me. I don't have any money to pay you, but I'm hoping you'll say yes. I'm having my breast chopped off in 3 days, and I want to remember what my body looked like. And so I told her, of course, come over. And so I spent 3 hours photographing her pain and her fear and her bravery and her tears and this whole sort of roller coaster of emotions. And then I had to come back to the studio 3 weeks later, and I re-photographed her body with her new scars and her reconstruction. And between those two women, it just was so powerful. So I started looking on the internet for photographs that were out there of mastectomies, and all I could find were these sort of really gruesome medical photographs where it was just the woman's torso, no face in the portrait, it was in harsh medical lighting. And I thought to myself, if I was a woman newly diagnosed with breast cancer, I'd be horrified to see these images. And that, so I decided that I needed to put a face to breast cancer and show some beauty and courage and humanity. And so that was 10 years ago, and probably about 430 or 40 portraits ago that I began the Grace Project.
How do you come in contact with the women who have gone through this, and And the discussions, a sense of the discussions that take place to move forward with a shoot.
In the beginning, it was hard to find people because there wasn't work out in the world like that. People didn't really talk about breast cancer as much. But now the project has gained a lot of visibility, and I get people writing to me and calling from all over the world going, you know, I want to be photographed. Can you come to Scotland? Can you come to Canada? So it's really just people finding out about the project, word of mouth, and, you know, and so basically what I do is I'll travel to a specific region. Usually I'll have a photo shoot, an exhibit in that region, and I'll put it out on the internet that I'm also doing portrait shoots while I'm in that region. So people share that, and then I'll be contacted from women that live in those areas that want to participate.
Is there a safety in numbers in the sense that once maybe somebody that if a woman knows someone who's done it with you feels that it's easier or something that they would be interested in doing as well?
I think that women see the portraits and get inspired by seeing, you know, these women standing in their own power. And now that the project has a lot of visibility, I think people aren't afraid to come and do portraits. But sometimes I will set up shoots where there are multiple women attending a photo shoot at one time, and they all cheer each other on and encourage each other. And
It's a hard thing because there is, in most cases, have they already dealt with the disease, or in some cases, are they still dealing with the illness?
I photograph people at all stages. So I've done everything from photographing a woman who's fresh out of her mastectomy and still has the drains, and which are these like little sort of, they look like plastic grenades, and they basically drain the surgery area of blood. I've photographed people who are in the middle of radiation and they have terrible burns on their bodies. I photograph people who are, you know, 20 years out. And I also photograph women who are metastatic, which is stage four, and that's women who've had a... And actually, I've photographed some men, too. I should also add that, because men do get breast cancer. But, you know, metastatic breast cancer is one-third of all breast cancer survivors go on to have metastatic breast cancer, which is stage four. It's basically a terminal diagnosis. And so that's always really intense, photographing those people, because they're really dealing with their mortality and trying to survive, and they're often sick. And so, you know, sometimes I photograph people like in the middle of chemo treatments. It's, you know, across the board, really.
I have only seen a certain number, a select number of images, so I think it's better if you do this, of explaining the size and of how, because these are large photographs.
Yes.
They're large photographs, mostly black and white or all black and
white?
No,
they're all color, actually.
All color.
Yeah.
All color.
Yeah.
And so the style that you set these up.
So in the exhibit, they're 36 by 54, and they're printed onto silk. So when you see them in the exhibit, like, the silk just gives them this kind of, the silk slightly moves with the wind, and they become luminous because the gallery lights kind of shine on them, and the silk gives them this sort of life-filled quality. And you walk into the gallery, and it's literally like walking into a church. It was very moving. I have to keep tissues in the gallery because people get very moved by the work when they see it. So they're, you know, and I base the portraits on Hellenistic sculpture with the idea that the Venus de Milo survived the trauma of history, but in the process became broken, and yet we value her as this most beautiful cultural icon. So it's this idea that, you know, something that is broken can still be beautiful and precious, and even more so because it has survived.
There have been artists who have done photographs of both men and women of looking at different body types, and even people that are usually seen one way without makeup and so forth. So this, the idea of someone who is in the only world word that's coming to me right now is vulnerable, and I don't think that's the word, right?
It's vulnerable is actually a perfect word for it, because when people come to me to be photographed, I mean, I'm not photographing people who are used to being in front of the camera.
Right.
I'm photographing, you know, people who are suburban housewives, people who are teachers and nurses and ordinary people. And I photograph all different body shapes and sizes and ages. So, and, you know, these people do feel, you know, a lot of them, not all of them, but most of them do feel mutilated by what's happened to them. And a lot of them have never shown their scars to people. And so, you know, taking off their shirt for a project that is, like, it's not even just taking off their clothes for a camera. It's taking off your clothes for an international platform, because these photographs are going out into the world and they're being seen.
So why do you think they do it? Because it would be difficult enough, even under any circumstances, of take cancer aside, for many women to do that, for any person to do that or want to do it. So what do you think it is, and you touched on this, of course, in the beginning, but to say that there's value in it personally as well as globally?
I think when there's a lot of power that happens when you stand in front of a camera and tell the world, this is my body, and there's nothing that I can do to change what has happened to me. And so when you're telling that to the world, the deeper statement is, you're telling yourself that same message. And I think that's where the real power is just kind of, you know, stepping into acceptance of what has happened to you. And I think also being seen and being heard and having people understand what your story is, what you've gone through, what you're living through. There's a lot of power in that.
Having done many, many shoots that have nothing to do with the Grace Project, it does this then bring it to a much more intense and emotional level for you?
For me, shooting, not really, because I think even in my commercial work, when I'm photographing any portrait, like, I mean, I do a lot of portraits of women, and for most women struggle with their body image. So I kind of had been dealing with a lot of that even prior to doing the Grace Project. So, but I think maybe doing the Grace Project has even sort of sharpened my sensitivity to how people might be feeling while I'm photographing them. Mm-hmm. So I think it has maybe increased my skill as a photographer who relates to her subject.
How long does an average shoot take?
The Grace Project shoots take about 20 to 30 minutes. You know, in the beginning, I used to spend a lot longer with someone. I'd spend 3 hours with them or 2 hours. But now that I've been doing it for a while, I know exactly what I'm looking for. And I have different tools that I use in the process of photographing to get a person to be very present in front of my camera. So it doesn't take as long because of that.
What kind of conversations do you have
while I'm photographing
yes.
them?
With the subjects?
You know, I usually start off with kind of getting them, I usually talk them through a little bit of a meditation so that I get them grounded in their, like just sort of present and feeling their bodies. I make sure that they're breathing and I kind of make them aware of their surroundings. If it's in a place of nature, you know, I get them listening to the birds and feeling the wind on their skin and on their scars. I often will have them think about the people that they love and the people that have supported them through their process. And so that quite often will kind of take them to a like a really emotional place, whether it be like really positive or whether it makes them feel, you know, quite often that'll make them feel momentarily sad. But then I kind of talk them through that sadness and just tell them to kind of let that feeling kind of be in them and then let it pass when it's ready to sort of switch to whatever the next emotional thing is.
The Grace Project is on exhibit at the Idea Garden in Kingston, New York. It will be on view each weekend this month, opening reception tomorrow. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Listening to the Roundtable.